Well, we're glad you're here, and I'm glad I get to preach one more time. This is what I heard this morning as I sang along with the rest of you today. You need to pay attention to what the songs say. We belong to God. He loves us, and He cares for us. I'm safe in Him. My personal Savior, my personal God. Then we put together two things. I think I would put it backwards. The song about the glory and grace. I think we get the grace before we see the glory. Personal idea. And note the great variety of the choirs. Did you see that? All of God's people can sing together. Joy in the offering. Did you feel the joy in the offering? And then it said at the last, "Speak, O Lord," and did you notice the graphic? It's through the Word. That's what we're going to do today. I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. If you don't have your own, I don't have it up in the thing. I do that on purpose. I want you to take your own Bible or the one in front of you on these two Sundays, and I want you to read it with me. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to begin in probably the most famous verse in that book, verse 13. We're not going to preach basically from that, but we need to start there. And I'm going to read down to the end of that chapter. So you're looking in your Bibles, you get to 1 John, you go to the last chapter, drop in to verse 13, and we'll begin to read. You follow as I read it. "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, he will give him life. For those who commit sin not undefined, leading to death." There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not leading to death. "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he has been born of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Let's see what God has to say to us this morning from this section of the Word of God. Let's pray and see if we can get a little more help. Father in heaven, I do pray that what you have given me will be remembered and will be given clearly today. And for that section that's hard to understand, help us to understand what we should and leave the rest up to you. And then I pray for the great blessing that's here. Help me to get that across. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you in verse 13? Have you been there, and that is that where you are? Well, you can relax then, because you're right where you're supposed to be. You see that? You remember that? You have it memorized, don't you? "These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." This is a verse that I would use at the end of talking to anybody about the Lord Jesus. I'll talk about sin, I'll talk about the Savior, I'll talk about the blood, I'll talk about repentance, I'll talk about turning yourself, from your sin to God, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then I use that verse. If you have Christ, you have eternal life. That's a forever thing. And we need to thank the Lord for that. We need to praise the Lord for that. We need to assimilate that in our whole process. And that's why we're here today. So that's where we start. And that's where we need to start. But that's not where, that's the kind of introduction. Now we go to the verse I want to spend a lot of time on. I want to talk to you about verse 14 today. This is the one that the Lord laid in my heart quite a long time ago. I've been reading stuff in 1 John for a long time. And this verse really makes sense to me. I'm going to make a name for this verse. I'm going to just say a simple thing. We have confidence in prayer. Let's look at it. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And then we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked from Him. Let's look at that a little bit this morning. I put down there, after I wrote that, we have confidence. I put down that this is pretty powerful stuff. I can know that He hears me. Personally, when I pray to a God that hears me. Boy, is that good. I can know that He not only hears me, He answers me. I read a book a long time ago. I've done a lot of things a long time ago. If you're my age, you do a lot of things a long time ago. A long time ago, I read a book that said prayer, asking and receiving. Now, I read that book by a very famous preacher in those days, John R. Rice. If you're old enough and you've got a memory, you can remember that. Prayer, asking, isn't that simple? Well, it is. But that's not all there is to it. If that's all you think there is to prayer, just get it. Yeah, got it. No, there's a little bit more involved there than that. Let's look and see what God has to say to us about this asking and receiving business, about prayer that's true. We need to look at it this way. I put down some things. Well, number one, we need to ask according to His, you knew this, according to His will. When I'm talking to God, I better really recognize who I'm talking about, what I need to get from Him. Are you interested in knowing what God's will is when you pray and what you pray about? Or are you only interested in your own will, your own way? You're approaching it wrong if you do that. It is true that God answers prayer. And we need to remember that prayer is important. Because the whole Bible's full of that. I just read you some stuff that you to make your pure minds remember things. Jesus said that it's good for us to pray. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, He says, we ought always to pray and not to faint. So that's instruction from Jesus Himself. It's right to pray. It's right to pray every day. It's right to pray for all the time. That's good. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, He tells us that Jesus Himself, this is a practice, I think. He arose a great while before day. Why did He do that? Not to do His exercises. He did it to pray. He did it all the time. Now, if the Son of God had to pray to His Father in heaven for instructions for that day, don't you think it would be a good idea for you to start that way? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for salvation in Your name. Help me to know what to do today and live for You. That's a good start. Luke 5:17, we read, He often slipped away to pray. So we know that. Well, for thinking saints now, and you are all those, you're thinking saints. For thinking saints today, this is what I wrote down. There are questions that come to mind, right? You've been praying for a long time. Sometimes you get an answer right away. Sometimes you don't. At least that's been my experience. Like many other things, people decide to go one way or go the other way when they pray. There are some people who don't pray at all. They don't need to pray. They're saved people. They believe in a sovereign God, got everything handled, everything going the right way. Why ask? He's already done it. kind of silly, I think. No, people go the other way, too. This is the other way people go when they try to follow this up. Other people treat God like an on-demand servant. Lord, I want this. Give me. Give me, give me, give me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. I belong to you. So that's kind of going backwards, too. This prayer business is serious, but we need to know that God does answer prayers, does it? That's why I'm preaching it. Well, we need to be recognize some things as we pray. It's important for us to think these things through. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I found out that when I got born again, I was called a child of God. If any of you have kids, you understand that. You treat your child different than any other person. Any other little kids, if there's 10 kids along there, and you're trying, if you're a preacher, and you're trying to get them to set up the way they're supposed to, when my kids were little, I treated them different than the rest of the kids. I was harder on them, for one thing. And the other thing, I expected more things out of them. But the other thing is, I always knew and loved those kids. Didn't say it every day. Didn't have to say it every day. I don't think you do either. Neither does God. I'm a child of the King. I am His child. And I got in my Bible verses that tell me He loves me. That's all I need. That's all I want. But that's not all. That's not the whole picture. We keep going here a little bit as we think about this wonderful... I want you to take out of the Bible today as I move along here this wonderful promise that we know He hears us. And we know that He answers prayer. I want every one of you from the youngest to the oldest here today. I know I'm next to the oldest, but not quite there. I want you to recognize what I'm telling you is true. It's from the Word of God. God does hear prayer. He's not an on-demand God. He's not a God that just you don't have to talk to. Those are two extremes on the side that are wrong. However, we are told to pray. And we know that God does answer prayer. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're a child of God, He knows us, He listens to us. And this is what I wrote at the end of my first little thoughts here. We have His ear. I love that thought. When I get up in the morning and I start my prayer, I'll explain to you a little bit later how I actually do it. I expect God to hear me. I don't understand that. He's got a million other people to listen to, but He hears me. Have you figured that out? If you have, write the book. You'll probably be a millionaire. Nobody's got that figured out. But I have it understood. I understand that He hears me. He has His ear toward me when I... Isn't that a wonderful thing? You need to take it in. There are some conditions I wrote down. I got to thinking about that, so I wrote down. There are some conditions to meet or to consider. We need to have the right motive. James talks about that in a backwards way. In chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss." And in case you wonder what being amiss is all about, he says this, "that you may consume it on your own lust." It is not right to pray, "Lord, give me this because I want it." Well, who is to say you need it? Who is to say it's right? Well, God is. So I can ask for exactly what I think I need, but I better put it up there if it's your will. Oh, that's the next point. There's a point down here someplace. I got it. The idea, bless me, I deserve something. We're off track with that attitude. And you have it quite often. You don't even know it. You think, "I got a need. God's got the answer. Let's get with it." Whoops. You're still talking to God. You're not talking to somebody that does equal with you. You're talking to God when you ask that sort of thing. By now, I put it down here, by now I realize I'm over my head. Some prayers are answered clearly and quickly. And some aren't. So... now, this is what we know. I know He can, and I haven't been talking to you about this. I know He cares. And I read many promises in my Bible and many principles in my Bible. I like that last song. And I like especially that last graphic, that Bible that stood underneath everything. That's where I get my information how to go about doing what I need to do. Everything related to my relationship to God, especially to prayer. So we'll keep looking to see what God has to say when He talks about it. You say, preacher, we know all this. I know you probably do, but I'm not sure you practice it. That's what we're working on. Because sometimes I don't practice it either. Let me see if I... Oh, yeah, let me I got to make sure I got everything right in order because I'm a mixed up guy. Here's the conditions that we need to consider. We need to have the right motive. James tells us not to do it this way. I just got through talking about that. Now here we go. Boing, here we go. I see God's people pray. We're talking about this prayer, and I wonder, some prayers are right, answer quickly, some aren't. So what's this all about? This is the way I found out. I look at the Bible, people pray. I look at history. I read all the way down through history where God's people always have prayed. And in my day, I can point to people I know and I can point to people that I read that are Christians, and they pray. So I know that prayer is the right thing to do, all right. That's not my problem. I don't know how this exactly works out, but I pray every day. And the best I can and the best I understand God. And here's what I want to make sure when I pray that I do. I want to pray with the right motive. And I want to pray with the right desire. And I take this verse as one of my markers. That's why I like it. You see the marker? Look at it again. Now sometimes God answers prayer. I'm not sure. No, it says, we have this confidence. When I pray, He listens. That's it. That's it. When you pray, He listens. We've had some people had an accident. They're not here this morning, but they already have a God answer their prayers. Can't remember their names. Tell me. The Tracys. Yes. Was it an accident? A little boy got hurt, but not bad. He's in and out. All that was God at work, and I got news for you. I haven't talked to them, but you know what they did? They prayed. They may not have prayed when it went boom, but they thanked the Lord after it was over with. I'll tell you that, because you know why? I know those people. They belong to the Lord, and I know they pray, and I know God answered many of their prayers that we don't even know about. So how I bring that up, folks, what I want to bring up is that what we talk about in the book is in your life. If you don't make it practical, all you are is a nutcase. All you do, I believe all that, but I don't really do it. Well, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm not supposed to say all that. It was on the side. Let me see here. Okay, there we go. One more thing. So, I'll make a little list to help you and me out. A little list about this prayer business. I need to have the motive, His will. I always need to go with that. I need to have faith, believing. I don't know it all, but I do believe it all. I don't know a lot of things. Today I'm going to give you three or four verses I don't understand very well. But I believe it. I don't quite understand it, but I believe all of it. Number three, in John's Gospel, there's a wonderful promise. If you abide in me, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, here it is. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done with you, unto you. This gives us freedom in prayer. I can ask whatever I think I should. God will give me whatever I need. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not, but it is there all the time, every time. There's another condition, I think. We're asked to pray, and I want to remember this. Now, most always do it. I think you should pray in Jesus' name, because that's where I got in, by the way. When I got into God's gracious kingdom is by the Lord Jesus Christ, so I pray through him. I'm told to do that in John 14, one unrelated to salvation. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is really connected to salvation. But John 14:13 says, this is the basically here, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. There's the promise that it comes through Jesus. John 15:16 says, ask in my Father's name. So I pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's the way I do it. So, I sum it up like this. I belong to him. He loves me. He cares about me. And he asked me to pray. And I can pray and do pray with great confidence in him every day. We will continue until we see him in heaven or until he comes to take us home to talk to him every day about the things that we need. I personally pray this one. I got to watch my time, but I wouldn't supposed to say that. This is the way I personally pray. Depending on his character traits, I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who is holy and just and righteous. I get it straight that way. If I don't, I start deteriorating my prayer. So I try to start out by recognizing who I'm praying to. I'm praying to a holy, just, righteous God. And then every day, this is where it gets to be fun. Every day I say to him, I thank you for your grace and mercy and truth in my life. And I look for it. I look for his grace, I look for his mercy, and I read his truth every day. And that gets me close to the person that says he answers prayer. The God in heaven, who's right near and lives within me. And you know what happens when I do that? If I do it, it happens most of the time. When I get done praying, I got peace. Because I prayed to God that knows the answers. I pray to God that has the answers. And I pray to God that answers me. Now, that covers all kinds of problems. Covers all kinds of situations. Just remember who you are, who God is. Talk to him every day. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's all I was going to preach on, but I got two more things to say. This has been a hard decision for me. I decided to talk about the next few verses, even though I don't understand them very well. These next verses are hard to understand, but we won't skip them today. We'll start in verse 16, and I'm going to read down to start with verse 18. If anyone sees his brother, there it is. It is not some character out in the world. It's your brother, a fellow Christian. If you see your brother sin, a sin which does not lead to death, you will ask and you will pray for him life for those who not commit sin leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say you should pray for that, about that. All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin not leading unto death, which is most of them, I would take it, or we'd all die. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now, I would like to be able to explain all that so you'll understand every bit of it. I can't do it, but I'm not going to skip it. What I'm going to do is tell you what I do know, and I'll get you started. Pastor Don can take, he'll cover it. No, he and I have talked about this. Okay. There are verses confusing to me, I put it. Not clear. Different writers take different approaches. Every time I try to get it right, somebody else says something else. Here's what I found. It talks about a brother's sin, not unto death, and a sin unto death in 16. It's pretty obvious all unrighteousness is sin. We don't have to argue about that. We all have sin. We don't have to argue about that. Since we have believed, we are still here. I have some verses that I kind of remember that John talked to me about at the very beginning of his book. Remember that? If we say that we have not sinned, we are liars. And the truth is not in us. Chapter 1, verse 8. Then we got the million-dollar verse. We quote this all the time. 1 John 1:9. But if any man sin, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I call a million-dollar verse. And so I know that's in the background of this section. I don't quite understand all this. This is what I wrote down. So until I better understand these verses, I will repeat, don't take sin lightly. I think it means you don't pray for a guy who has gone so far in sin, he's not changing, he won't change, all the prayer, everything's going, this guy calls himself Christian, he apparently is a Christian, but he lives like the devil, has it like the devil, he don't care about the devil, living like the devil, might as well quit praying. I don't know when that happens or what it happens, but I have seen it happen. But that's all I can tell you. I don't know any more than that. All I am saying is don't take sin lightly. That's what I read out of there. Don't play with God. That's all I can say. And so until I better understand these verses, I'll repeat it again. Don't take sin lightly, either your own or your brother's. There's a responsibility there. You got that all straight? If you have, you're doing better than me. I want to go quickly to verse 19 anyway. That's where I want to go. Because it gets that helps me in the passage. We know that we're, verse 19, you got it there? We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Do we know that? Have you read your paper this week? And we know that the Son of God has... Well, I want to say verse 19 first. This is what... my second point was don't take sin lightly. My first point was we have confidence in prayer. Here's the third point. We know who we are. And we know what we are in this world. We know who we are, and we know what we are in this world. And verse 18 tells us, Pastor Don, I remember you repeating this often. I think it fits here. He often takes us for a little trip, and he talks about pilgrim on his way to the promised land. What is the word is there? And pilgrim, as he walks through the land, all the problems that come with him and are all the way through, we need to identify with this pilgrim who's on his way through this wicked, evil world. That's the point. We live in a wicked, evil world. But we're on our way through. We are pilgrims. We are going to the city, the celestial city. I'm on my way to heaven. On my way through. I need to remember that God answers my prayer. I need to remember that I don't take sin lightly. And I need to also remember and praise the Lord for verse 19. Let's look at that again. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There it is. That's our answer to the end. And this is the way I would finish it out. Two things are clear here. We understand. We know we are of God. That's when you ought to say, oh, by the way, has anybody ever heard an amen in a Baptist church? We know we are of God, and He is part of us, and we're part of Him. Well, hallelujah. I didn't think I'd get it out of you. Folks, you actually can take it in. It's not just over here. Take it in. This is a wonderful section. We know we are of God. We know we ought to say amen. We operate in a sinful, evil world. We check. We done that. This is our understanding as Christians and as a church. And this affects how we live in this church, in this world, both as people and as a church. We are in it but we are to be separate from it. Christians ought to be different. Christians ought to know the Lord and follow the Lord and live for the Lord in this wicked world. That's my message. That's what's supposed to happen. That's how it's supposed to work. So, in my conclusion, I told myself to read verse 20 clearly and carefully. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Do you have Him? Then you have eternal life. No Christ, no salvation. It all comes in and through Him. You know that. Praise the Lord for it. But remember, friends, we have something that we can know for sure. That when we pray, He hears us. And when we pray to a God who can handle everything. All the time. Every time. That makes us different. It ought to show up in our mentality. It ought to show up in our life. And it ought to show up in a daily prayer. Let's pray. Oh, we're not supposed to pray. We're going to sing. Then we're going to pray. Got that. I got to have this in order. I asked Vic to